how big are the armies in Middle-earth at the time of the War of the Ring? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the Lord of the Rings in nerdy detail, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. This is the latest in a series of videos breaking down the action of the War of the Ring. We'll get onto the Battle of the Pelennor Fields in the next video, but this is a quick pause to talk about army sizes. We've mentioned a few times how Sauron's army far exceeded that of his enemies, but by how much? How big was the garrison at Minas Tirith? How many elves were there in defence of Lothlorien? How about the Riders of Rohan? These are all good questions, because in trying to come to exact figures, we're fighting against a few of Tolkien's instincts. First, this is all in-world reporting. As we'll get onto in a moment, Saruman's forces were counted out of Isengard by Merry, who was not exactly experienced in warfare. But we have to go with his estimate, because that's the best we have. Second, some of these battles and armies are not a part of the main story. How many fighting dwarves emerged from Erebor to face the Easterlings? How many men of Dale versus how many Easterlings? The main plot is far to the south in Gondor and Mordor at that point, so we're given hints, but not exact army sizes. And third, Tolkien didn't really focus on battles and warfare in his stories. Yes, they were a necessary central part of his narrative, but never the focus. Perhaps it's because he experienced the horrors of a very horrific war himself and didn't want to go back there. Or perhaps he saw the story as more than the battles, so spent less time on them. Either way, most of the battles in his story are done and dusted in a few pages, rather than often several chapters in other comparable fantasy epics. Those caveats out of the way, what can we say about the sizes of the armies in the War of the Ring? Let's start with Saruman. Saruman had been secretly building an army for a while, but still he had one of the smallest forces in the war. His objective in attacking Rohan was to divide and conquer, hoping to keep Rohan's strength tied down through things like Grima's control over Theoden, and because he had been so secret, surprising his opposition by the strength he did have, focusing on battles he thought he could win rather than waiting for Rohan's forces to unite. A fight against the Rohirrim in an open field would have been a massacre. Merry's estimation of those forces is as follows. I saw the enemy go, endless lines of marching orcs, and troops of them mounted on great wolves. And there were battalions of men, too. Many of them carried torches, and in the flare I could see their faces. Most of them were ordinary men, rather tall and dark-haired, and grim, but not particularly evil-looking. But there were some others that were horrible, man-high but with goblin faces, sallow, leering, squint-eyed. Of all sorts together, there must have been 10,000 at the very least, said Merry. They took an hour to pass out of the gates. The goblin-faced humans are very probably what we would call half-orcs. Treebeard is horrified by this idea, and Tolkien himself said that they were Saruman's wickedest deed, the interbreeding of orcs and men, producing both men-orcs, large and cunning, and orc-men, treacherous and vile. Leaving aside important moral judgments on Saruman's forces, Merry's count is probably roughly accurate. There will surely also have been some defenders left in Isengard, but it seems that this was a nominal force at best, who were no match for the Ents who descended on there a bit later. And Saruman clearly had a few more patrols and groups hunting for the ring. The one that captured Merry and Pippin was one of them, but surely there were more. That group were big enough that 100 or more attacked Boromir and captured the hobbits. Then they encountered another group, where dozens of goblins emerged from the trees, so we're probably talking 100 or a couple of hundred or so per warband. At the end of the story, there also seemed to be something like 150 or so ruffians who took over the Shire, so if Merry is right with his estimation of 10,000 marching out of Isengard, at the very least, plus the warbands, plus whoever stayed in Isengard, plus the ruffians, we're obviously talking more than 10,000, but probably still less than 15,000 total. I've seen some estimates a bit more than that, but 12 to 15,000 in total seems like a reasonable central estimation. And that total is made up of orcs, Uruk-hai, some on wolf or walkback, half-orcs and Dunlendings. Some will have died in the two battles of the Fords of Isen and at the hands of Boromir et al., but still there seem to have been over 10,000 at the Battle of Helm's Deep. Saruman focused the main strength of his army there. Facing them, we have the forces of Rohan. It's clear that the forces that Saruman faces in each battle are just a fraction of the army that Rohan could field, but Saruman and Grima's machinations mean that Rohan is outnumbered at every turn, at least to start with. We're told that at the first Battle of the Fords of Isen, the Rohirrim had 11 mounted companies and one company of archers, which adds up to about 1,400 soldiers, plus some men from the Westfold and, arriving partway into the battle, some reinforcements from Edoras, numbering four more companies, so perhaps another 500 or so. All told, 1,500 or so soldiers, then battle was joined and obviously some were lost, then 500 more arrived. At the second Battle of the Fords of Isen, Saruman seemingly fielded the bulk of his forces, so at least 10,000, against Rohan's maximum 2,000. The resultant rout is therefore understandable. The Battle of the Hornburg again starts with a clear majority for Saruman. The bulk of his 10,000 left against the 1,000 or so garrison of Helm's Deep under the redoubtable Gambling, plus 1,000 more in reinforcements from Theoden. Later, Gandalf and Erkenbrand arrived with 1,000 more survivors from the battles of the Fords of Isen. Then there are the Huons. Tolkien never gives us an accurate count for the Ents and Huons, but there are clearly enough to eliminate the defenders of Orthanc and take out the retreating orcs at the Battle of the Hornburg. Your guess is as good as mine on that, but a forest full? And after all that, Theoden, once more in control of all his forces, but after many had been lost in battle, decides how many he can spare to help Gondor. This is what he thinks. 10,000 spears I might have sent riding over the plain, to the dismay of your foes. It will be less now, I fear, for I will not leave my strongholds all unguarded. Yet 6,000 at the least shall ride behind me. At the height of its powers, Rohan could field even more. Scholars suggest perhaps 12,000 knights. But after fighting various battles outnumbered and outmanoeuvred in different parts of their country, and knowing that other attacks were possible, 6,000 was what they could spare. At which point, let's head north. Several battles take place off-camera, as it were, in The Lord of the Rings, while our main characters are engaged in sneaking into Mordor or defending Gondor. As such, we have a lot less information about troop numbers and even the shape of the battles. One battle, taking place over 3 days, is between the Easterlings under Sauron's rule and a combined force of dwarves from the Lonely Mountain and men of Dale. Several decades earlier, in the Battle of the Five Armies, Dain's forces from the Iron Hills were just more than 500 strong. We know that Erebor grew in strength since then, but surely even with immigration and the rather slow dwarf birth rate, they couldn't field more than the low thousands. Similarly, the Lake Men in that earlier battle numbered only 200 or 300. Surely they couldn't have grown more in those few decades than to another few thousand. All told, the army of those two allies must have been a few thousand at most. And given that they were pushed back and forced into a siege in Erebor until news broke of events further south, we can probably assume that the invading Easterlings had a larger army to start with, though not overwhelming. Maybe 5,000 to 10,000, but that's just a guess. Mirkwood and Lothlorien were also attacked, though this time by orcs from Dol Guldur, supplemented by some orcs from Moria. The Mirkwood forces are probably easiest to estimate. Thranduil took 1,000 archers and 1,000 spearmen to the Battle of the Five Armies. Assuming a relatively stable elf population since then, and adding some, because presumably the Elven King didn't take all of his forces to Erebor back in the day, I'll guess at 3,000 Mirkwood soldiers, being a mix of archers and spearmen. The host of Lothlorien is harder to estimate, though. It's a relatively small area and seemingly quite sparsely populated. They successfully defended themselves against 3 attacks during the War of the Ring, but I'd expect Galadriel's magic had quite a large part to play there. So your guess is again as good as mine. Probably smaller than Thranduil's army, so 1,000? They didn't really get involved in the action, but I think we can assume that Elrond at Rivendell would have been able to call on even fewer than that. The orcs of Dol Guldur attacked both Lothlorien and Mirkwood several times, including both at one time, losing pretty much every time, but still managing to come back until their final defeat. They therefore probably initially outnumbered the elves, but not overwhelmingly so. Let's put this one at, I don't know, 10,000, or perhaps as high as 20,000, given the defender advantages. Again, Tolkien gives us few clues here, so it's just an educated guess. Feel free to disagree in the comments below. I'd be fascinated to know what you think. By way of a summary, in the Northern Theatre, Sauron's forces seemingly outnumbered the Free Peoples by a few thousand, enough to prevent those forces supporting Gondor and Rohan and weakening them for future attacks, but not enough to actually defeat them. And with that, let's return to Minas Tirith, because that's where we have the most detailed descriptions from Tolkien on force sizes, as the defenders of the city count their allies in as they arrive. Karen Wynne Fonstad in The Atlas of Middle-earth gives us a very good rundown of these forces, and Christopher Tolkien, who read the book, didn't disabuse her of her notion, so let's go what she said as a reasonable estimate. First, Denethor's garrison at Minas Tirith itself was around 2,000 strong. It had probably been larger, but the Battle of Osgiliath a few months earlier had been costly, and he had some forces set aside to defend Cair Andros and go with Faramir to defend the river and Osgiliath immediately before battle was joined. Denethor also called in the Banners, and around 1,100 arrived from the southern fiefs, a mixture of bowmen, hillmen, fisherfolk and the like, plus an estimated 1,200 from Dol Amroth. That's 700 plus a company on horseback. So that's 4 to 4,500 there defending Minas Tirith when Sauron's forces first attack. You can add to that 6,000 Rohirrim and perhaps 1,000 more from the southern fiefs and a handful of Grey Company that Aragorn brought from the south partway through the battle. So 11,000 or thereabouts in total defenders. Facing that, the Witch King's army was an army of such size had never issued from that vale since the days of Isildur's might. That's over 3,000 years. We're told of 18,000 Haradrim, plus their war Oliphants, plus Easterlings and Orcs. Tolkien also reveals in Unfinished Tales that more than half of Sauron's forces, presumably not including those held in reserve in Mordor that we find out about later, were involved in this battle. Given that we estimated the northern forces as 10 to 20,000, that puts the Witch King's army at 30 or maybe 40,000. If it were much more than that, then the word-precise professor would surely have talked about the majority of Sauron's forces being at Minas Tirith, or almost all of them. Unless, of course, you think there could have been more in Dol Guldur, you could go round in circles on this very easily. Any which way you look at it, the Free Peoples were vastly outnumbered at the Pelennor Fields, and only won because of, well, we'll look at that in the next video. When it comes to the Battle of the Morannon outside the Black Gate, we do have some reasonably precise numbers from Tolkien. Aragorn and the Army of the West set out with 7,000 soldiers, although en route Aragorn released 1,000 of those to guard their rear and to liberate Cair Andros, so 6,000 remained. In opposition to them, we're told that Sauron had 10 times and more than 10 times that number, so more than 60,000 that had until then been held in reserve, although some had probably retreated back from the Pelennor Fields to Mordor. So although these forces were spread unequally around Middle-earth, and Tolkien is deliberately vague on details, we can be pretty sure that Sauron's army overall numbered well in excess of 100,000, and probably significantly more. Saruman could field something over 10,000, and the Free Peoples, all combined, something between those two numbers, and probably closer to Saruman's total than Sauron's. And again, these are estimates, intended to give us a feel for the balance of power, not an exact science. Even without knowing exact numbers, we can say that Saruman had a big army, capable of taking on an individual kingdom like Rohan once he had weakened it, but not big enough to challenge the Free Peoples when they worked together. The Free Peoples could defend themselves for a time against Sauron with home advantage, but would have been swept away by Sauron's forces in an open field. Without reinforcements arriving from Rohan and the south, Minas Tirith would have fallen. If Sauron had concentrated more of his army on Dale and Erebor, he could probably have won there and had a free run at Mirkwood and Lothlorien. And Aragorn's force, marching on Mordor, was laughably outnumbered. They would have all died but for the ring being destroyed. These considerations, and of course what happened to the ring, were what drove the action in the War of the Ring, not just numbers of troops. We very often want to break things down to such a granular level that we lose sight of this big picture, that Sauron's forces far outnumbered that of the Free Peoples, or the story at a more personal level. Gimli and Legolas were each worth more than 40 orcs at Helm's Deep. And what about the impact of Gandalf, or the Witch King, or Grond, or Frodo and Sam? The War of the Ring is not just a matter of comparing army sizes. It's about continent-spanning strategy and individual heroism. My War of the Ring playlist is on the left of your screen now, or if you'd like to see more videos on other aspects of the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist in the centre of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.